Good morning. Thanks for tuning in to the Beth Wee Radio Hour, an hour dedicated to helping you find connection so you can live your best life.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Beth Walsh Erickson in the studio today with my friend and partner, Lee Kimball. How are you today, Lee?
I am well, thank you, Beth.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear it. Running a little bit today.
Well, you know, I've prayed for some things, and I've gotten them. And I have become very busy.
That's what happens. You ask for what you want, and then you get it. You got to work for it a little bit.
I will
bit
never
too.
Complain about blessings.
Yeah, it's all good. It's all good. You know, today we had a great workshop on Saturday.
It was.
And we talked about self-esteem. It was called Self-Esteem Power Up. And we were talking about how important it is to value yourself. And I thought that would be a really important topic for the radio, for the people listening, people that couldn't make it to the workshop. That maybe wanted to be there, but, you know, sometimes Saturday afternoons are a busy time for people. And what do you think?
I've spoken to a few people and told them that we were going to do that, and they were looking forward to it.
Well, that's good to hear. That's good to hear. You know, whenever I talk about self-esteem, you know, I automatically bring that other word in, humility.
Ah.
Because I think you can't have self-esteem without humility.
And my head had just gone to, you can't have one without the other.
That's absolutely right. You know, a few years back, if you're listening and you're new to the Beth Wee Radio, a few years back we did a workshop. It was a weekend event up in Cocoa Beach, and we talked about, it was called Seek the Treasure Within, and we talked about Mel Fisher a little bit, and we talked about how much of his life he spent searching for the Tierra Firma Flota that was lost in two hurricanes in the fall of 1622. That's really a long time ago.
Yeah.
I mean, really, that's a long time ago. And he was looking for these ships that went down. They were 8 ships out of Spain, and they were carrying Colombian gold, Peruvian and Mexican silver, and Venezuelan pearls. Oh. And
easy on the mic, though.
Yeah, I know. Jumped with me. The rear guard was a ship called the Nuestra Señora de Atocha. We always call it just the Atocha.
The Atocha, correct.
Yeah. But she was found. You know, that ship was found in 1985 by Fisher's team, and it was labeled the find of the century.
Oh, my goodness.
Do you remember that?
I do.
Back then in 85, so this is a long time ago, they valued it at close to $400 million. Now think the difference in the price of gold and silver in 1985 to right now.
Yeah, quite a difference.
Quite a difference. So it's got to be worth, I don't know, tons of dough now. I mean, but, you know, before the find, the crew worked tirelessly. I mean, they worked like crazy for almost free.
On a mission.
Yeah, they got like room and board, basically. But very little money was ever dispersed. And they lost a lot, and not just working for free. You know, Mel lost a son and a daughter-in-law in a diving accident.
Sacrificed.
Yeah. I mean, they were, it was bad. But he was determined. He believed the possibility of finding treasure was worth the sacrifice and loss. And he endured the pain, along with his crew, because the possibility of discovering treasure was so great. It was a valuable incentive. So why do I bring that up?
Well, because, you know, what is value?
Yeah.
You know, what's valuable to you? What's your perception of value?
Yeah. It's so funny how many people listening to the sound of my voice right now, you would do anything for anyone. If they came to you in need, you would be the first one to put a hand out to see what you could do to change their circumstances. But you don't do that for yourself. There's a Dr. Kathleen Desmaisons. She works with people that have overeating addiction. And she's one of the friends of Beth Wee because she runs a recovery program called Radiant Recovery. But one of her things, she's the one who coined the thing, put your own oxygen mask on before you help the person next
mm-hmm,
to you.
Mm-hmm.
And she's big for saying that. You need to take care of yourself if you're going to really impact this world. You need to take care of yourself. You need to impact your world first. And I don't think you can do that if you lack either self-esteem or humility. So that's what I wanted to talk about today. So are you in?
Yeah, you know, it's funny you mentioned that because I was driving in the car yesterday and I had I listened to music through my phone and it flipped over to a file that I had of a radio show I had done while you were at a family reunion. Mm-hmm. And my 90-year-old mom
was
my guest. And it's so nice because mom is gone and I have that ability to listen to her. But we were speaking about self-care, mm-hmm. you know, which kind of ties
especially
in.
For the elderly.
And
it's important.
And it was it was interesting because mom at 90 and a half, as mm-hmm. she mentioned, it was difficult for her to get her head around the importance of taking care of yourself because her whole life had been devoted to caring for others. Mm-hmm. And she couldn't really comprehend it.
For a family and yeah. for her husband. Yeah, it's a tough one. You know, but in the end, the value you place on yourself is going to determine the quality of your life.
Absolutely.
And
and the quality of the service you can provide to others.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, in the workshop, and often in a few different workshops, because I think that I love The Velveteen Rabbit.
Yes.
You know, by Marjorie Williams. It's a story, and it's a fictional little account. Some of you listening are going, if you read the New York Times regularly, probably not your read.
Wall Street Journal, maybe?
Probably not what you're looking
not
for.
Not so much.
But, you know, it's two stuffed animals talking to each other. You know, and it's a rabbit and it's a skin horse. And they're talking about being real. And I use the quote from that book a lot because I think that being real and knowing who you really are is what humility is all about. Humility isn't about meekness and timidity and being less than.
Not being humbled.
No. Humility is about knowing who you are, where you start, where you finish, where you stand. And being okay with that.
Well, I've told you before, one of my favorite definitions of humility is a clear understanding of what and who I am, with a sincere desire to become what I can be.
Absolutely, that's a great definition. Yeah. Well, in this, would you read it for us, Lee?
If I
gave you that.
I would.
Yeah. If you would read what the, it's a little bit long, but bear with him because I'm telling you, it's a great little quote. It's from, again, The Velveteen Rabbit by Marjorie Williams. Lee's going to read you a little bit.
And bear in mind, these are two stuffed animals speaking to each other. Okay. Real isn't how you are made, said the skin horse. It's a thing that happens to you when a child loves you for a long, long time. Not just to play with, but really loves you. Then you become real. Does it hurt? Asked the rabbit. Sometimes, said the skin horse, for he was always truthful. When you are real, you don't mind being hurt. Does it happen all at once, like being wound up, he asked, or bit by bit? It doesn't happen all at once, said the skin horse. You become. It takes a long time. That's why it doesn't happen often to people who break easily or have sharp edges or have to be carefully kept. Generally, by the time you're real, most of your hair has been loved off and your eyes drop out and you get loose in the joints and very shabby. But those things don't matter at all because once you're real, you can't be ugly except to people who don't understand. I suppose you are real, said the rabbit. And then he wished he had not said it, for he thought the skin horse might be sensitive. But the skin horse only smiled. The boy's uncle made me real, he said. That was a great many years ago. But once you are real, you can't become unreal again. It lasts for always.
Isn't that a wonderful thought?
I like it.
Once you're real, it lasts for always. Yes, that's what we're talking about today. Are you real? Are you in the know of who you are? Are you comfortable with who you are? We're going to look at self-esteem and humility in hopes of discovering a way to love ourselves for real. For real. You know, because I think a lack of self-esteem is one thing. And then there's the other side. It's a phony self-esteem. I call that like big shotism, where you think you're kind of, you know, larger than life and never wrong, that kind of thing. That's also not a true self. That's not a true view of yourself.
And then you have the other extreme where you have people that think that they are just the worst possible. And that's another extreme.
Right.
That's not real either.
Right. And both of those sides, whether you're the big shot or you're the valueless one.
The same continuum.
Yeah, it's the same thing. And all it is you're moving toward fear and separation instead of toward love and connection. And that's what we're here to talk about today. We want you to be loved. We want you to be connected. We want you to feel like you fit in.
And to realize your value.
Yeah, that's what our whole gig is about. You know, Beth, we started as a ministry to help people who've been impacted by addiction, not just their own, sometimes somebody they love. That's where it started. Addiction is growing in our nation, and it's getting hard to know what to do when people you love, or maybe it's you, maybe you're the one listening going, oh no, she's talking about it, you know. But here's the thing, you're losing yourself if it's you. It's not just those who love you losing you. We love you. We want you back. But you're losing yourself, too, because that's part and parcel of what addiction does to people.
And don't limit the definition of the condition, because it wears many hats.
Oh, yeah. We're not just talking about drugs and alcohol. We're talking about shopping.
Obsessions and compulsions.
Food. Yeah. Yeah. Gambling. It's so many different things. And it's just taking over. But we're here today to talk about self-esteem and humility. Because we want you to have a real life. We want you to be loved for real. We want you to love yourself for real.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're talking about today. What some of us think is selfless is actually selfish. We think doing for others all the time is selfless. But it can be selfish if you're not giving us your best because you haven't stopped to get to know yourself, to esteem yourself. To care about yourself.
To bring us the best you.
Yeah. So how's your life?
How you living?
How you living today? Yeah. Look again. If you have blinders on your eyes, take them off. Blinders are like false beliefs, you know, things that distort our view of the world. That's what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to talk more about self-esteem. Power up, baby.
Thanks for listening to the Beth Wee Radio Hour. Don't forget to check in at www.bethwee.com for more insights and information on how to connect in this big, crazy world. www.bethwee.com gives you dates of upcoming seminars, video teachings for those seeking recovery, tools for finding peace of mind, and Beth's blog, Thoughts to Challenge Your Complacent Thinking. Next time you're online, check out www.bethwee.com. Look for us on Facebook as well. We want you to live your priorities.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Beth Walsh Erickson in the studio today with Lee Kimball. And we're here to talk about self-esteem. Do you love yourself? Do you value yourself? And if not, can we help you get there? Because I think, you know, limited lives seem to be the result of limited thinking. What do you think?
It's all perception.
Yeah. How do you perceive yourself? Are you a gift to this world, or are you a problem for this world?
And are you seeing realistically, or are you believing the lies of separation and ego?
Right. When you heard the topic today, did you want to turn it off? Did you say, oh my gosh, they're going to talk self-esteem and humility. I don't know if I want to stay for that because I don't want to hear about that.
But or did you think to yourself, well, I don't have a problem with that and you're still with us. We may open your eyes.
Yeah, yeah. Because what I'm here to tell you, if self-esteem is a problem for you, one of your primary issues is a lack of humility. And again, humility, we need a good working definition of it. You know, those of you near the bottom are thinking, not me, she's got that all wrong, you know. I don't need humility.
I'm as low as they come.
Yeah, and humility is not that, you know. Humility means lacking pretense, being so comfortable with yourself that you just know who you are, you accept where you've been, and you look forward to where you could be going. Humility can be tough for those of you and those of us that are grandiose. It's hard. Maybe you were bit early in life by the entitlement bug. I don't know. Maybe you think you deserve things that, you know, should be coming to you, however you see it. But that's just one part. What we want you to do is become one of us. Become who you were really meant to be so that you can be the gift to this world that you were created to be. What do you think?
I like it.
Yeah, tell me your definition of humility again, because I think people will like it. Now listen real closely.
A clear understanding of what and who I am with a sincere desire to become what I can be.
That's a beautiful definition. It's a beautiful definition.
And it's not mine. I read it, and I may not have it exactly as it was written, but the gist is there.
I think it's in a study that we've done.
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, for the lowly out there, those who have determined their value is beneath the value of other people, the attainment of humility can be tough. You know, it starts, if you can imagine like a circular motion, start at the top of the circle. It's your belief about yourself. Okay, so here you have your belief about yourself, and then you're coming around the circle, and what comes next is your behavior that is spurred by that belief about yourself. You know what I mean? So you have the belief, and then boom, here comes the behavior that belief spurs.
Your thoughts lead to your actions.
Right, and then boom, comes up the next. Your actions make you feel faulty or negative self-worth, and boom, it goes back up to the bad beliefs about yourself.
And you wind up stuck in a cycle of self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah, it's a cycle. Da-dum-da-dum. You know, I mean, it just keeps circling and circling.
You know, with the definition you just made me think briefly, last evening, my wife is, God bless her, she's a wonderful woman, and she's organized.
Yes, she is.
Part of, you know, you want to speak of humility, a clear understanding of what and who I am. Me, not so much. So last night's, I will leave something out in plain sight, because if I don't see it, I will forget it.
Right.
And if it's important, well, we have company coming. So my wife organized.
Up.
And I couldn't, I looked and I didn't see it. And I went almost to a state of panic and agitation. Mm-hmm. And afterwards, I got in touch with, you know, I'm not good at this. She is, and I said to her, I says, honey, please, I'm sorry the way I reacted. I understand you're just trying to organize for us, and it's not about you. It's about me and my challenge, you know, but at the same time, I'm doing some work outside I'm really good at.
So the curb appeal is appealing.
Well, and you know, it's just, you know, I'm aware that, you know, there are some things that I do excel in, and there's some things where I don't. And I have a partner that, and we complement each other.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing. That's good to know, too. Yeah, that's important, too. It's important to know who you are, really. Have you, like, forgotten who you are and become what you believe you are?
Or what you were told you were.
Yeah, think about that. You know, when you were a kid, you know, what did your mom say? Oh, she's the best kid in the world. Or did she say, oh, she's not going to amount to anything?
And either one can challenge you.
Yeah, yeah. It's a difficult thing. But look at that, you know, think of that cycle again. How are you going to overcome a cycle that just keeps ba-bump, 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 ba-bump? To overcome it, there has to be a brake put on. To make a wheel stop turning, you have to apply the brakes.
But first you have to be willing to take a look. And to see that there's something may need to be changed.
Right. Well, the first part of that cycle I talked about was belief about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, beliefs come, you know, generally from personal experience or from things you were taught. You know, sometimes those hand-me-down beliefs are not so good. And those are the ones we were just talking about. If you heard, you know, you'll never amount to anything, when you were growing up, you start to believe that. I'm not really supposed to amount to anything. Everybody thinks that about me, so why would I put in the extra effort to fill in the blank?
Or like I said, the other end of the spectrum, if you're told you are the best, and what happens when your humanness kicks in?
Right.
And all of a sudden you realize that you're not the best across the board.
Right.
You know, then you wind up with disappointment in yourself.
You know, even your belief about, like I thought for me, school was easy.
Yes.
All my life, school was easy. It just came, I could read the stuff and take the test.
And how did that serve you?
And well, you know, for most of my life, it, you know, the part where school's important, it worked pretty well. But then all of a sudden, I got to this one class, and I was in college. It was an upper level class, and I hate to admit this, but I didn't go to the class. I would go get the syllabus, and I would show up. I would do the studying on my own in some of these things, and then I would show up for the test. Well, what I didn't know was the class had veered off the syllabus. The class had naturally veered, and the professor went with it. So I show up to take this test, and I'm reading it, and I'm like, I don't know anything on this test. What is going on? So I go up to the professor, and I said, Professor, what is this test? And the professor said, who are you? And I was like, oops.
Not a whole lot of sympathy?
No, not a whole lot of sympathy for me. And when I told him, he was like, you know, I'm sorry, but the reality is this is what we studied, you know, and this is what the test is on. Do your best. And I got a bad grade on a test. It was like the first test I ever took that I got a really bad grade. And I was freaked out because who I thought I was had been challenged. Mm. And I found out that things can change in life. Things can come off the regular course. And you have to be ready to roll with that. That's part of living.
And even the best of us have our fallibility.
Oh, yeah. And being able to roll with it is a big deal. Mm-hmm. And the fact that I wasn't there, that I wasn't present, that I didn't value the course enough to be present in there studying it every day, that was a tough thing. It was tough for the professor. It was tough for me.
Probably tough on your ego.
It was tough on my ego. So check your beliefs about yourself. Challenge them. Do they even really hold up to the truth? Because humility works because it starts to sprout inside. Who am I really? Really, I'm just another bozo on the bus, as they say. I'm just another part of this wonderful planet that I can do what I can do. We've had some major things happening in the world this week. Hard stuff. Things that we see on the news that we're like, what is going on? And, you know, one was a huge massacre. Another was a little child grabbed at a theme park by an alligator. And, you know, two completely different random acts. One was a willful act of a human being. One was the nature of the beast that was right there. And both times, everybody's shocked and surprised. But here's the deal. What can you do to impact it? Is there anything you can do?
And there are certain defaults that people have, because frequently I believe that people will default to fear, or will default to love.
Right.
And they're too, you know, are you going to an extreme?
Right. You know, and it's as I come to know the truth more deeply, then, you know, my beliefs and my behaviors will change. And as I come to know what's happening in the world, I'll pay attention. And what some of this told me is, I need to pay attention to my world. If, you know, I need to pay attention to my world and to the people that I care about and do the best I can. I remember a time when my mother died unexpectedly in a car accident. And I remember thinking, thank you, God, that I was up to date with her, that I was who I really am, that she knew I loved her, that she was up to date in my little world, that I wasn't like out of commission or missing in action for a bunch of time before she left. That's what I'm asking today. Who are you really? Who are you? And if you're one who loves others, have you told them that you love them? That can be one of the parts of humility.
You know, I can mention this briefly because I know that the folks involved are not listening. But last evening, we had somebody tell us that their grandfather had told them that he loved them. Oh. And it's not a regular occurrence.
Oh, that's sweet.
And it was special.
Yeah. It matters to people. You know, we're going to take a break, listen to some news bites, and we'll be back. Stay tuned.